back into this series here again on heroes, and so we're going to dive into this. I'm going to be bringing out a special guest again next week here. This guy, a couple friend of ours named the Bishops. We've known them for decades, literally now. We actually live close to them in South Africa, and they live now in, sorry, I had them up on the platform. I'm up on the sound booth here. Sorry. These guys now live in Scotland, or is it Ireland? The Bishops, Ireland. And so they'll be going back to Ireland in a few weeks, but they have time to come here just one time on a Wednesday night service. So we're going to have them come and minister to us next week. But I'm going to launch into the heroes of the Bible, do all I can do, Old Testament, and also some New Testament characters starting in July as well. And then when July, around the 3rd, 4th, after the 4th of July kind of comes around the 6th, we're going to go back into the next 5-week series on Free Indeed by Robert Morris and the Gateway Church. So we appreciate you guys who've come here for that this past 6 weeks. I hope you guys receive a whole lot from that. There's still some really good teaching still to go in specific. We're going to start out, the very first one's on the lust of the flesh, combating pornography and the lust in people's lives. Very, very appropriate thing for us to, in this day and age, in this culture, to know how to do that. If we're not bound by that ourselves, help those who are bound by that, because there are millions that are having problem with that across this nation, even around the world. So try to put that in your mind to be here if you can, starting in July for those next 5 teachings. Okay, so tonight, as it says in your notes here, we're talking about Daniel. There is, for those that are newer here, blank spots here and there to be followed within these notes as well. We're looking here in the Old Testament in this series at ordinary people who gave their lives to God, submitted themselves to the Lord, the love of God, and allowed God to do extraordinary things through them, though they were ordinary to begin with. And we're going to start seeing some principles in the Bible, some things those guys did, because the Bible says God is no respecter of persons. What God does to any human being in the whole history of the world, God will also do for somebody else. Now, not exactly the same thing, because all of us have our own giftings and our own anointings. And so God will use us according to the giftings and anointings he puts in us. But I've also found, no matter what giftings God puts in us, it actually gives us potential to somehow touch the nations for God in our lifetime. It may be intercessory prayer. It might be paintings. It might be writings and books and poems. It may be songs. It may be even baking and doing carpentry work. But somehow, some way, God will give us our ability to touch the nations and touch our city more and more for him as we live on this earth and bear fruit. So we're going to see in the Bible some things about Daniel. Daniel's main theme of his life is a man who has had an excellent spirit. Now, God blessed him from having the spirit he had that was very, very excellent. Okay, so these heroes changed lives. They changed nations. They changed societies. And they still are affecting the world today. Thousands of years beyond their death, they're still speaking today. Their lives are speaking to you and I. So your note says Daniel's name, the first of all, the meaning of that. Who here knows what Daniel's name means? God is my judge. That's right. God is my judge. And so the word judge goes in that first blank spot as well. They'll be on the screen here, I think, as well, the blank spots of if Kristen got those to you. And I've also typed out, I think, almost all the verses in the New King James Version from this as well tonight. If you look at the research and writings of Bible theologians about Bible characters, those who talk about and know about the life of Daniel, they've got a list that takes at least one page about all the plus side, the good things that Daniel did right in his life, the good things, the strengths in his life. It takes up a full page in almost all the writings of all the Bible scholars. On the negative side, the weaknesses and the things that he did wrong, not one scholar can list one thing. Now, he's one of the guys that did all things well, did all things right. He was not sinless, because nobody is without sin, amen, except for Jesus Christ himself. But there's nowhere in the Bible that talks about any failings, any weaknesses, any iniquities that actually took Daniel and caused him to make some very big, dangerous, bad mistakes in his life on the earth, okay? So Daniel is one of those who did life right from the beginning to the ending. We see there's other heroes you talked about in the past, like Abraham. Abraham made a mistake and had a son named Ishmael. Moses, great man of God, great hero of God, could not control his temper, could not go into the promised land because of his own temper being uncontrolled. David, a great king, man for God's own heart, could not control his lust. By his lust, he had Bathsheba there in an affair, murdered a man, had him murdered, And from that became a split kingdom for Israel, with Rehoboam, Jeroboam having Israel and Judah having a split kingdom there that caused major problems from that point on beyond David's death. Also, we see Samson. He had a problem with anger and unforgiveness and revenge and bitterness. He could not let things go. Those who hurt him, those who wounded him, he made sure he got even with them and did far worse to them than they did actually to him. So Samson was a great hero, but he had some problems in the realm of his own flesh. And also, last but not least, was Elijah. He said Elijah suffered from fatigue, suffered from depression, and he also suffered from even fear that come on him in times of fatigue and times of weakness. These guys were all heroes. They all did great things to expand the kingdom of God and give us faith examples of what God can do through a person, but they had some problems in their lives. Now, what's good about these guys' stories, though, is they all overcame their failures and their loss, and they all came out smelling good with God's help. It shows how even though sometimes we stumble, though sometimes we make mistakes in life, God will still pick us up. God's plan for our life will still unfold for us beyond the mistakes. There will be consequences. There'll be some things take place that aren't very pleasant for us, but God's purposes will still take place for those who will not give up, become bitter, and get mad at God and turn their back on him, unlike the guy whose name, of course, was Jonah. Jonah's an example of a person who would not let it go, would not forgive, turned his back on God. You don't hear about Jonah anymore in the Bible after he had that incident there with Nineveh and would not forgive them. Okay, so some of the context now we're going to see of Daniel. Daniel is so great that he's mentioned several times, even in the New Testament. Peter mentions Daniel. Paul the Apostle mentions him a few times in his writings. Hebrews chapter 12 puts Daniel's name in what we call the Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 12. And then even Jesus Christ himself quotes Daniel in Matthew chapter 25. You can read that yourself sometimes. You see that even in the New Testament, we hear Daniel mentioned time and time again because he had a great impact upon people in New Testament churches. More context here is that Daniel was taken in captivity as a teenager by Nebuchadnezzar from Babylon. He went to the place there to Babylon and received 3 years of a brainwashing program. And that's also, to me, a kind of a bad news, good news thing, because it shows you, and it shows me at least, no matter how secularized or how humanistic a university becomes, it is possible for a person to get still through it with flying colors and still love Jesus Christ and still serve the Lord. Because these guys were pumping Daniel full of Babylonian philosophy, Babylonian thoughts and thought patterns and their morals and so forth and so on. But Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego did not bow the knee to what those demonic teachings were like, and they went through the place smelling like a rose because they put God first in their lives, okay? Historians believe that also Daniel served under 5 different kings and also under 2 different kingdoms, under Babylon and also under the Persians with Darius. So we also see here he was of royal blood from the tribe of Judah. Yes, he had royalty in his blood, his bloodline. And he also is known for interpreting dreams and interpreting visions. I'm still trying to get my mind around this, and my spirit around this whole thing in Joel that says your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. Because I see, in my own life, I've had dreams and visions both from age 20. I didn't see myself very old back at age 20. And even to this day now that I'm up in my 50s anyway, I'm still seeing visions from God as well as dreams both. And so maybe what God is saying there, it kind of starts out with visions as a young man, but as you get older, he's going to add dreams to that, okay? So maybe that's what God means in that whole thing as well. But we see Daniel could interpret and receive visions and dreams in an accurate way. Toward the end of the story of Daniel, we see the archangel Gabriel and Michael sent to interpret dreams for him themselves. That's pretty big stuff. You got the 2 biggest angels in heaven, besides Lucifer who fell, Michael and Gabriel, coming to him in person and actually interpreting dreams for Daniel. You got to be pretty highly favored of God to have the archangels coming to your doorpost or coming to your house right before you to interpret dreams for you. Okay, so it goes on here, and I've written down also he wrote more about the end times than any other Old Testament writer. There's very much rich prophetic teachings and revelations given to Daniel hundreds of years ago about what we're facing right now today on the face of the earth. It's kind of a side note here. This is one of my own opinions. You know that in that vision of Nebuchadnezzar, where he had the dream, that Daniel saw the dream, Daniel interpreted the dream for him. It says there was a head of gold, and there was this chest that was, I think, made of silver. There was these legs that were made of bronze. Then there was these feet that were actually made of baked clay mixed with iron. And it says these are actually four great kingdoms that will exist. It talks about the great empire the Babylonians themselves had, and the Roman Empire also, and the Chaldeans, I think, before that. And then now we have the very last kingdom that actually has been over the influence the entire world, that's made of partly baked clay, partly of iron. Then it says, I saw a mountain or a rock, and there was actually a mountain where a rock was hewn out of the mountain, and I saw the rock hit the feet made of baked clay and of iron, and I saw the whole statue crumble. All of man's kingdoms came to nothing, to dust, and the kingdoms of this world became the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, who is the rock of all ages. Amen. And the question mystery has always been here by many theologians, what is that last kingdom that's made partly of baked clay and partly of iron? My own opinion is, I think it's really the United States of America. And I really believe it's our two main parties. One of our parties is very much full of iron. They're kind of hard-nosed. They're kind of strict. They're kind of rigid in some ways. They don't have a whole lot of mercy sometimes upon the people, it seems like. The other party has got clay up to their armpits. There's a lot of flesh. A lot of carnal things take place, a lot of carnal thinking happenings, and they've got bleeding hearts and very soft, compassionate clay-type hearts in them. And the Bible says they will no more be united than iron mixes with clay. So God is saying that last kingdom will never be a united kingdom. It will never happen until Jesus Christ comes back and smashes the whole thing at the feet and takes a whole image of mankind's kingdoms down and says, man cannot do this. Is going to take Jesus Christ to make it right. That's my own opinion, and I'm going to stick with it. Okay, so you guys believe what you want on that. We'll see what pans out when we go to heaven, and God gives us the real story down the road. So moving on here, Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 through 3 says this. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdoms 120 satraps, or satraps, one of the two, to be over the whole kingdom, and over these, there were three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them, so the king would suffer no loss. This Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit, notice that, was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. And many versions of the Bible actually say, and the king did give him rule over the whole realm. So he loved Daniel and liked him so much, believed him so much. He made him like vice president, second in command, and put him as ruler over all the administration over the Persian kingdom in this era. Okay, so he's now about 80 years old. He's under the rule of King Darius. Brian Houston, with a great church in Australia, is called Hillsong Church. Brian Houston says, my spirit is my responsibility. My spirit, your spirit, is your responsibility. God will never make you obtain an excellent spirit in your life. Remember, the Bible says that of 2 million Jews, people of God that are crossing the wilderness, only Joshua and Caleb, the Bible said, had an excellent spirit. And that's possible now, I think, more so today than back then, because the Holy Spirit now lives in us. And I believe we can have an excellent spirit ourselves and learn some things from Daniel's life, his mistakes, not his mistakes, but his strengths there, to show us what we can mimic or imitate to have an excellent spirit ourselves on the earth. Okay, so we're going to talk a lot about that tonight. Your spirit has a profound impact on your present and also on your future. So if we detect that our children are starting to manifest kind of a too much of a carnal type spirit as they're in their 10s and their 12s and their 13s and beyond there, that should become a prayer point for us parents and grandparents. That Father God, somehow deal with my child's spirit. Their spirit become teachable, their spirit become pliable, and their spirit become more like the spirit of Jesus Christ himself. And I've seen how God does that. God will somehow invade their circumstances and start bringing them in the right place at the right time to make some real situations take place for them that will actually draw them to places of character development for God in good ways. I see it with my own kids. I see it with many other folks' children as well. God is faithful. Amen. Your note says your spirit is under your control. God will never control your spirit. And your spirit ultimately determines your character. The word character goes in that blank spot. Your spirit's under your control. You can have a bad spirit. You can have an unclean spirit. You can have a neutral, apathetic spirit. Or you can have an excellent spirit. But it will determine your character. Your character is what you're like when no one's watching you. Your character is what you're like behind the scenes. Your character will determine the choices that you actually make in your life. Our life is a reflection of the quality of the choices that we have made throughout our lives. Okay, so choices are very important things. That's one thing that Cheryl was mentioning to me this week here. She's amazed here. People, you know, they make choices, and they sometimes make many, many choices by their flesh, by their own intellect, and they make sometimes some very dangerous decisions. And so God is telling us if our spirit is excellent, it'll help us have a character that's like God is, be hearing his voice more, being led by him more, and make some right decisions in life, because God sees 5 and 10 years down the road and helps us make some good decisions, because God wants to bless us and bring us good things. Amen? God tells us in Deuteronomy, he says, I set before you this day life and death. And then he goes on and says what? Choose life. The key word there is choose. We have a choice to choose life or death. And God says, every day you wake up, I'm going to set before you life and death. Choose life. And God won't make you do that, but I'm saying I encourage you, find out what is life and choose life, okay? It all starts with taking control of your spirit, okay? The good news is, no matter how bad or mediocre your choices have been in the past, no matter where you're at today, in one day, God can put you on the right path, and God can even restore the days the locust and cankerworm has eaten from you, okay? So no matter what you think about today, you think about all the regrets, the things you could have done, bad choices you might have made there, God is a God of the second, third, fourth chance. And God is saying it's never too late to get on the path, the right path, and make right decisions. The main thing is seek first the kingdom of God, righteousness, peace, and joy, and the Holy Spirit. If you do that, he'll make sure that right spirit will be in you, and then he'll start guiding your footsteps more and more easily like he wants to do. God wants to bless us. God has good things for us. Okay, so Proverbs chapter 25 in your notes there, it says, whoever has no rule over their own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. One translation says, it's a totally defenseless against the attacks of the enemy. One thing that the Holy Spirit showed me back when I first, we got baptized, the Holy Spirit at age 20, I began to see visions of myself with a wall around me. And I began to see then a catapult with big rocks being mounted about 200 or 300 feet beyond the wall, and I saw this thing being loaded with rocks and then these great big boulders being hurled at the wall, putting chips and cracks and almost putting holes in it. And I said, what am I seeing, God? And Holy Spirit said, when you do things on purpose that are sinful or evil or going to get placed to the enemy, it is like attacking the wall I put around you, and it's going to bring somehow some destructive things in your life. It gets placed to the enemy, it puts gaps in the wall, and it puts a place for Satan to attack us from. So I'm saying, let's choose life and not death. Amen? We don't need to be attacking ourselves. Okay? So I hope you see that. Let's move on here. Daniel chapter 1 now. Nebuchadnezzar has taken over Jerusalem. He's taken the top young men from Israel. And verse 6 starts out and says this. Now from among those of the sons of Judah, there was Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Of course, their names became Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but those are the names they had as Hebrews to begin with. What are the marks of someone who has an excellent spirit? These are some things we have in your notes today, some marks of things God wants in our lives for those who have excellent spirit. These are in Daniel's life, okay? So number one, first of all, they know God has chosen them. They know God has chosen them. The first step to taking control of your spirit is recognize that you have been chosen by God for greatness. The word greatness goes there. Every one of us has been chosen by God for something great on the earth. That doesn't always mean American Idol type greatness. It means greatness as far as God is concerned. And I've seen a whole lot of quiet, meek people that no one knows their name that are great in the kingdom of Almighty God. As a matter of fact, God says very plainly through Jesus, he says, those who want to be great in my kingdom must be a servant of all. And that means serving people with the giftings, talents, abilities God's given us in a spirit of meekness, preferring others as better than ourselves, putting God first in our lives, and that brings greatness as far as God's concerned, because God sees everything we do, and the good news is he writes down everything you also do in obedience to his will, and you will be rewarded openly in heaven before millions and billions and angels even as well for what you do upon this earth. It does make a difference, okay? So, you've been ordained by God, to in some way affect your Jerusalem, your Judea, your Samaria, your uttermost parts of the world. And God said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, after this you'll receive power from on high, and you will find yourselves being witnesses in these places, Judea, Jerusalem, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the world. And God is saying, the word witness there means testifying to what you've seen Jesus do in your life. God's going to make sure somehow, some way, your story gets out there to affect the lives of people as you put God first in your life. The world needs more Christians who will accept this role in their lives. Amen? We need more Christians who will accept that role. Number two, those with excellent spirits are those that are obedient to God. Obedient to God. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, it goes on and says, but Daniel purposed in his own heart he would not defile himself with the portions of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. There are several times in the book of Daniel where Daniel actually puts his neck on the line as he faces death, rather than displeasing or disobeying his God. He knows that God wants him to eat certain foods and not partake other kinds of foods. And so he says, it may get me killed, but I'm going to make this request anyway. The good news is, the guy that he goes to, the chief cook or baker, whatever it was, he actually had his neck put on the line for Daniel. He goes to the king himself and says, Daniel does not want to drink wine or have all the meat and shrimp and oysters and Taco Bell, all these other guys are eating. He wants to have all these vegetables, all these fruits, and all these wholesome foods like ginseng root and like barley green and so forth. He wants all that kind of stuff and Ezekiel bread, okay? And so he makes sure he's all the good stuff that's there, and somehow, some way, the king offers leniency to this guy making the request, does not take his life. Because back in this era, it's very common for the kings to get mad very quick and kill people if they actually bug them at all. So these guys have their necks on the line for this, okay? Several times, Daniel faces imminent death, but because of his faith, he will not take and waver in his faith. He will not quit praying to God. He will not quit worshiping the Lord. He will not also quit his Jewish traditions that have passed on to him from his forefathers. He will not do these things. He'd rather die than forsake these things. And I pray to God we have the same values ourselves in our lives. If the worst thing Satan can do to us is kill us, Satan is already lost. Amen? Because I'm already dead. I am crucified with Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, I do live, but the life I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen? So we got to realize we're dead men walking right now. Amen? Our body, our flesh is like nothing, but our spirit man is already alive. Nobody can kill our spirit. They may kill our bodies, but they will never kill my spirit and your spirit. Amen? Can't be touched. So God rewards him, Daniel, in every step of the way where he lays his life down for the cause of God's kingdom. It's like Joshua, who also had an excellent spirit, the Bible says. Joshua said, you Israelites, Moses is dead. I'm going to cross the Jordan River. You guys may want to serve the pagan gods we're going to go to, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Do what you want to do, but we will serve the Lord. And I pray to God that somehow is in the tablets of your heart as well, maybe in a frame in your house. But no matter what this world's culture goes through in a negative way before Jesus Christ comes back, let's say every day in our own hearts and minds, I will serve the Lord. Amen? I'll never give up on my faith, my prayers, my worship, my traditions, my walk with Him before Christ comes back. We need to be concerned also and pray about the big things that are happening around us in our society. So we should be praying about the killings in Orlando. We should be praying about the situations taking place overseas with the radical Muslims, and our troops need to be prayed for on a daily basis as well. We need to be praying about, perhaps, if you feel led to, global warming or things environmental. Those are all big things facing us, but the problem is we sometimes get so wrapped up on the big things we have no control over, we let the little things come into us, and the Bible says the little foxes are what spoils the vine. Little things are things like bitterness, unforgiveness, cynicism, jealousy, anger, neglect, laziness, slothfulness. These things are little foxes that are sneaking into us. We're getting so concerned by the big things around us we can't control in life, we're letting these little things we can control get in the back door. So I'm saying be diligent, be vigilant there. Realize that Satan does go about like a roaring lion trying to find someone to devour, and don't neglect the little things in your life. Your note says, next of all, when you are in control of your spirit, you have the ability to discern what is good and what is evil. And you have the power to reject, the word reject goes there, the evil, okay? That's one of the things, again, that I liked what Robert Morris brought out, I think it was last week in the teaching. He said, we're getting back in the area very, very strongly now, that the first sin committed by Eve and Adam was Satan comes to them and says, did God really say? Almost a lot of our young folks, especially now, are asking themselves, asking each other, did God really say? And they're calling what God calls evil good, and they're calling what God calls good evil. Okay, so we need to have the discernment of the Holy Spirit living in us. That comes by having an excellent spirit who can discern what God hates and what God loves, cling to what God loves, and reject what God hates. Hope we see that. Okay, number three. Excellent spirit people are those also that are recipients of divine favor. Divine favor. Daniel chapter 1, verse 9 says, now God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of one of the eunuchs. So Daniel asked permission again to have a different diet than the other magicians actually had themselves. Different, the other wise men also had themselves. And the chief, again, like I said, risks his life to go and tell the king, we need a different diet for this man whose name is Daniel and his friends. Then verse 20 says, in all the matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel had 10 times more wisdom and 10 times better answers and solutions than all the magicians and the astrologers who were in all of his realm. That shows us that God will give you divine wisdom and divine intelligence in times you need that in the earth as well. You know, to me again, we had this social problem last week here, or 2 weeks ago, where the gorilla could have killed the young boy in this, I think it was Cincinnati Zoo or Cleveland Zoo in Ohio, one of those two. And the first thing we're hearing all these guys saying time and time again, we want to know who to blame. We got to find out who to blame so we can punish somebody. The main thing I see here in all these deals is sometimes we are so involved, I guess, in being correct and being nicey-nicey to animals and everything else, we sometimes throw common sense out the wall and don't realize little kids are going to find a gap in a wall, and they're going to go through it and going to find themselves face-to-face with a great big old silverback gorilla. Let's just build the thing right to begin with, okay? And we love the gorilla. We love all of his ancestors, so forth, so on. Let's just go ahead and make things a little bit safer out of common sense here, so little bitty 3- or 4-year-olds can't walk through gaps and go down the moat and get attacked by gorillas, okay? So I'm just saying to us again, we need to understand these guys had 10 times better answers than the folks, because these guys were actually steeped in pagan philosophies and pagan religions. And the main thing about demons are liars. Demons are deceived, and so they sow lies and they sow deception to all their disciples around the world. The main thing that's dangerous about false religions is false religions are sowing deception and lies into the people that are disciples of those religions, okay? So don't think they're all serving the same God you're serving and serving the same Jesus. They're serving a spirit that's given them lies and deceptions mixed with truth together like rat poison. 90% good food, 10% error, and 10% poison. And that is dangerous, okay? So I'm just throwing that out there as well. Let's go here. Let's go move on here. Romans chapter 2, verse 10 says this. But glory, honor, and peace to everybody who works what is good, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. God says those who take and put God first, God's going to give to them glory, honor, peace, and favor in their lives. You cannot put a price tag on favor. Amen? Favor comes from God, and those who have excellent spirits. Number four is this. They also are consistent. Consistent. Daniel 1:21 says, Thus Daniel continued until the first year of King Cyrus. So it says Daniel had no hiccups, wasn't put in prison for being disobedient and disloyal. He kept right on trucking on in his duties as second in command over Babylon and Persia. So your note says this. This is a characteristic of those who will do right and hold to personal convictions. The word convictions goes in that blank spot. They will hold to personal convictions. That is such a very, very important thing, again, for our youth as well and us as adults to understand. We need to have firm convictions take place in our lives because every conviction we have is being tested. It's being attacked by the media, by our culture around us here, and our kids are going through also an attack on the convictions of God in the Word of God, and be aware of that. Heroes may stumble on the path of life. There's a big difference, though, between stumbling on the path and then getting off the path. Okay? We're going to stumble on the path. Let's just don't get off the path. Amen? We want to be on the path the way that God puts us on. We may fall down, may go backwards a bit for a season, but let's just don't get off the path. Okay? Okay, so now we're going to go into a summary again of Daniel. We're going to go to chapter 2 here briefly for time's sake. In chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar has a wild dream. That's where he sees this, the image of the gold, the golden statue, or the four-leveled statue. They're going to kill the wise men now because the king says, I want my wise men to come here. Tell me what I dreamed. Interpret the dream. God shows Daniel what the dream was, interpretation for the dream, and he spares Daniel's life. He spares the magicians' lives. He spares Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's lives. And praise God for that. And what Daniel did, first of all, Daniel said this to the king, would you just give me a little time? That's probably a whole message right there in itself. If you have an attack of the devil coming against you full force, best thing to do is do what Daniel did right there. Step back and say, I just need a little time with my God. This is not my fight, not my war, not my battle. This is God's. I want a little time. I'm going to pray. I may even fast. But I'm going to believe that God's going to intervene here and show up and do what God wants to do in the thing I'm facing in my life. And praise God, God was faithful to Daniel. God shows him the dream. God interprets the dream for him. And God does not just spare Daniel's life. He spares his friends' lives as well. Amen. That's a good thing that took place. Now, Daniel chapter 2, verse 17 and 18 goes on and says, then Daniel went to his house, made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they might seek mercies from the God of heaven concerning this secret, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Your note says one of the marks of true heroes is that when the pressure is on, they run to God and not away from God. The word away goes there. They run to God, not away from God. When you feel depressed, when you feel discouraged, you feel betrayed, the worst thing to do is stay home on Sunday mornings and sleep in and drink Maalox and whatever else you do there. There's just going to be a diversion there. I'm saying get into a place where there's people of faith and let the praise of God flood your life, come out of your mouth somehow even, and let the Word of God wash you and bring to you courage and strength, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And I'm saying do not go into some cave somewhere like Elijah did and try to and then suck our thumbs and say, oh God, please show up here. No, let God be God through you. Keep on doing things to press on in, run to Him, not away from Him. Amen. So pressure is going to bring up fear. It's going to bring up anxiety. It's going to bring up anger. It's going to bring up reasonings. It's going to bring up doubt many times. This is when it's time to respond by faith and see what God says about your problem. Because God has an answer and a promise for every problem we can face in this life. Amen? I know he does. Notice also how Daniel gathered his friends together around him. That's also important to be a believer who is not an island to himself. We need our friends in the body of Christ. And praise God for our friends. Don't ever underestimate the power of divine connections that God's placed in your life. Honor them, cherish them, utilize them, be with them, especially in times of pressure in your lives. Let's read now Daniel chapter 2, verse 19, and then 27 to 28. It says this: Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, The secret which the king has demanded, the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayers cannot declare to the king. They can't do this. But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Praise God. Daniel makes sure all the glory, all the praise, all the honor goes to God and not to himself. Okay. When God did good for Daniel, Daniel always made sure he gave God the glory. That's what God will also watch us sometimes. Whenever God does good things for us, it's not time to brag about our anointing and our giftings and our wisdom. It's time to brag about God, who worked for us, in us, and through us according to his good pleasure. God receives the glory. Amen? Okay, so when God does something for us, it's important to give him the glory, the thanks. Jesus said, those who humble themselves before God will be exalted. Amen. In verses 46 through 49, Daniel chapter 2, it goes on there and talks about the four of them all getting promoted now by God. God rewards them on the other side of victory. So the good news is when God breaks forth for us, when bad things happen to good people, and we find a victory takes place by God intervening there, there's always going to be plunder given to us on the other side. Amen? So that's good news about that. In Daniel chapter 4 now, we're going to skip chapter 3. Chapter 3 is about the fiery furnace of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But chapter 4 goes on. It gets another dream comes to Daniel. Goes through a change, or a king goes through a change of heart here and begins worshiping the true God. Nebuchadnezzar gets another dream. This time the dream shows him being tied to a chain, to a stump, and clawing the ground, eating grass like a cow, an animal. And what happens there, of course, you understand, is because Nebuchadnezzar did not give glory to God for what God did for him, God says he took his mind from him for a season, made him act like an animal and eat grass like a cow. And when he finally came to his senses, he begins to worship and praise the God of heaven. God has ways to humble people. That's not what God chooses to do, but it's what God can do. The good news is Nebuchadnezzar came out better by going through that bad thing. Amen? So moving on. Daniel's interaction with the king leads him into a relationship with God. This king, Nebuchadnezzar, gave Daniel every reason to hate his guts and want to see him dead. He conquered Israel. He made the Jews become slaves. He controlled Daniel's life. He put them into a pagan college, university. He made him do things that were tried to make him do things of a pagan type nature. Tried to make his life into a pagan type life. Yet, Daniel still used his giftings and callings to bless him. And through that, this king received God in his own life and bowed his knee to the God of heaven in due time. That's why God tells us time and again, you can win a whole lot more souls and people with honey than with vinegar. Amen? And so I'm saying, people around us may be evil and do bad things, but somehow, some way, let's find a way to love them in Jesus' name. Only a few days ago, the Holy Spirit began, as I saw these people again in the LGBT community getting murdered, getting killed here in Orlando, Florida, the Holy Spirit just reminded me and said, these are people that Jesus Christ died for. 1,000 years into heaven, you will not care one bit about how evil men were on the earth. You'll only wish you'd done more to reach them with my son, Jesus Christ. And so I don't care if it's a Satanist, if it's a Hindu, if it's an alcoholic, or if it's a womanizer, or if it's a person involved in homosexuality. I'm saying God wants us to somehow, some way, love people, hate sin, but love people, and do what we can to see them drawn to Jesus Christ and pray for them to receive the Lord in their lives because they need Jesus. Amen? God is the answer for all people upon the earth. Okay, so moving on here. We need to ask ourselves every day, what reflection of Jesus are we giving the unbelievers around us? Daniel gave the reflection of the true God every day he lived because he had an excellent spirit. Amen? He didn't try to find ways to get revenge on Nebuchadnezzar. He didn't try to find ways to undermine him, backbite him, gossip about him, slander him. He found ways to bless him, and through that, Nebuchadnezzar caused all of that nation even to say, you must bow the knee to God, the God of heaven. I've seen that he is the true and the only God. So that's what took place in that situation as well. In chapter 5, Belshazzar is now the king. He's facing a large attack by the Persians, and Belshazzar is so prideful and so arrogant. He thinks that Babylon is so strong that nobody can conquer them. When they're facing an attack by the Persians, by the tens and hundreds of thousands, he throws a party, and he says, bring me all of the vessels of the temple of God, all those goblets and all those bowls, and fill them with alcoholic wine. Let's get drunk. Have a great big old giant party as the Persians come to attack us. Big mistake. The Bible says when he did that, a hand appears and writes on the wall something like, Perizim, Parazim, Urizim, Imazim, something like that comes on the wall there. The wife of Belshazzar wisely says, there's a man in this kingdom who has an excellent spirit. His name is Daniel. He can interpret because it says the king's face turned pale. He was shaking at the knees. He was scared to death, as he should be. And they bring Daniel out, and Daniel reads that writing, and he says, King, what it says is, you have been weighed in the balance, and you have been found wanting. You are going to be killed, and you're going to die from what you've done. And I think it said in the Bible, before the day was over, he was dead and struck down, and he was killed. Now, I'm saying again, it's this is kind of a whole lesson here as well, a short message here about how people around us, even in their wickedness, will recognize your righteousness. Notice that the wife of the evil king knows where the righteous man is at and brings him to the forefront in a time of supernatural occurrences around them. Amen? And also see here that taking God's tools, what God calls sacred, and defiling that like they did, brings God's wrath many times. One of my little side stories here in a short way, I've told the guys I've been here in the past about this. It's the only time in my life it ever happened. 20 years old again, Faith Chapel Church in Kansas. I'm there with my friend Marty Foster and Brett Drachenberg on a Saturday night, and we're setting up for some reason on the platform. I turn the PA system on the platform and start singing Elvis Presley songs in the church microphone. Ain't nothing but a hound dog, crying all the time. But they're dancing around, driving around, singing a dumb song like that. And I sang for about 15, 20 seconds, and all of a sudden the whole PA system just went boom, quit working, went dead. Couldn't get it back on. It was plugged in. No problems, would not work at all. I thought, wow. So I left the church Saturday night, came back to church Sunday morning. Pastor Pruitt gets up Sunday morning, grabs his microphone to preach and starts teaching there, puts it in his mouth, no sound comes out for 1 second. Then boom, it comes on. He kind of looked puzzled, like, what? And boom, it comes on and worked from then on. The Holy Spirit showed me there, don't mess with God. I'm not saying that all these things are all sacred and holy and got their Ark of the Covenant time things. They'll make your face melt. If you mess with it, mess with the drums here, your face is going to melt. I'm not saying that. But I'm simply saying there's some things that God kind of sets apart as holy and sacred to him. And he says, just don't bring a whole lot of your flesh around me and my things and my stuff. Okay? So this is kind of a little side deal. Moving on. Daniel comes, interprets a dream, lets him know he's facing defeat and destruction. Sometimes we have to stand up for what's right, even though people may not like what we tell them. Because they did not like what Daniel said, but he went ahead and he said it anyway. And God spared his life again. Belshazzar is killed that night, and then Darius of Persia comes in. Moving on, Daniel 6:3, we see that Darius sets Daniel in charge of the whole country. Daniel 6:4 says, so the governor's satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could not find a charge or fault because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. Oh, that Daniel would run for office as our president. We wouldn't have all this junk on these debates, amen? Moving on. Faithfulness and integrity. The word integrity goes in that blank spot. Are two of the biggest decisions you can make about your spirit. Faithfulness and integrity. Daniel was faithful over other people's stuff that he didn't even agree with. People that actually were pagans and demonic, he actually was faithful over their stuff anyway. I'm saying if you're working for an unsaved boss, still be faithful over their stuff, okay? God sees that. God was promoting him. Proverbs 10 tells us, the integrity of the righteous allows him to walk securely, which means in confidence. It also says it will cause a righteous to lead or live in longevity, a long time. And also it says that those full of integrity, it will lead them to direction and guidance. The word direction goes to that blank spot. Direction and guidance. So all those things are benefits of people who walk in integrity. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. In his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day. He prayed, he gave thanks before God, so as was his custom since early days. This talks about when Daniel had an edict that says, those who will not bow the knee to this king, Darius, will be thrown into the den of lions. And the Bible says Daniel just let it go in one ear and out the other, and he went right back to his house, and he bowed down to his God, not Darius, opened up his windows so all the town could see it, not to be rebellious and be smart-alecky, but because he was told by Solomon years ago, I want all of Israel to take and open their windows to Jerusalem and pray towards the place they've come from and pray to the God of heaven every three times a day. Daniel was following the orders he received years and years ago. Didn't care if it killed him, did it anyway, okay? So, verse 16 says, so the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel, and they cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke and said to Daniel, your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. This shows us our faith can actually impact ungodly people. Your faith, your testimony, your life can actually impact people that are ungodly around you. Do you believe that? Because we are salt and we are light. And the Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they will one day glorify the Father who is in heaven themselves. Daniel lived to be about 100 years old. Historians tell us this, and he prospered every day he lived. In verses 26 to 28 of Daniel chapter 6, the king decrees that all the people are to bow their knee to the King of heaven, the God of Daniel himself. This shows you and I, again, that no matter how much unbelief or how much darkness or sin grips America or Austin or the entire world, let's let Daniel be an inspiration to us. God's grace is sufficient for us. I have convictions in my life. I'll be faithful and I'll be full of integrity regardless of what the world around me does. We as believers are called to be people of obedience, people of conviction, and people of consistency until Jesus Christ comes back upon the earth. Amen. Let's bow our head. Let's close our eyes. Let's have a moment here again to pray. And let's just ask the Holy Spirit to help us to take the seed, the word is sown tonight, and let it be applied to our lives and those we influence. Father, we thank you, O God, that you have been so faithful to us. You've shown us, O God, the Bible, characters like Daniel, who are great examples of an excellent spirit, of integrity, of faithfulness, O God, of convictions, of not compromising in the face of paganism all around him. Let us, O God, be those who realize we have much to be thankful for, because there are churches across this city, this nation, who can still freely worship the Lord our God. Give him praise, give him worship, read our Bibles, serve him with all of our hearts, and not find ourselves being imprisoned, being beaten, or being beheaded for our faith at this time in this nation. We pray, God, beyond this, help us, Lord, to be those who have, oh God, the ability to, through our excellent spirit, to reach people around us who need Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I pray, God, that if we've gone through times in our own path, in our walk in life with you, we find ourselves compromising and sometimes telling dirty jokes, sometimes doing things that are off color, sometimes doing things that are compromising in front of unbelievers. Father, forgive us of that. Help us, God, be those who have strong convictions, not because we're religious or self-righteous or prideful or arrogant or Pharisaical, but because we serve the Lord our God, who is the living God, who lives inside of us, and who wants to touch people around us with his love, your grace, and your salvation. We praise you, God, these things are going to be sealed tonight, watered, O God, by your Spirit, by your word, beyond this service. And also, Father, I pray tonight that as we leave this place, take us all home safely, that our sleep, O God, tonight be sufficient. Let us, O God, have divine opportunities to share the love of Jesus with those around us who need the Lord that lives inside of our hearts and lives. And I also pray, Father, bring us back here this coming Sunday, those who can come here with hearts believing you for great and mighty things that we know not. Take this evangelist, Father God, your servant Barry. Bless his comings. Let him, O God, have the word of the Lord rich inside of his mind, his heart, his spirit. Let him, O God, have the freedom this coming weekend to do the works of the Holy Spirit, the works of God. We thank you, Father, you go before us and have your way among us. We ask all of these things in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.